very encouraging for the night like we have tonight to see so many of you here. I sometimes remark that I feel the Lord's coming is so near that we don't have time to talk about anything else but about the person of the Lord Jesus. Eternity will never exhaust what our portion that we have in Him. And sometimes in speaking about the Father's house, as we get in John 14, I remark that our hearts now, as we are enjoying our portion in the person of Christ, that our hearts now can soar off into the Father's house as we think of that blessed moment, and which is our privilege to enjoy now in a measure. And I thought tonight that several thoughts were before me. I was thinking of the Lord Jesus as the Good Shepherd, but I trust we have the Lord's mind in speaking a little tonight about the Lord Jesus as the I Am. You know, when Moses, he asked, "Well, who shall I tell?" Speaking of Israel, "Sent me." And the Lord Jesus says, "You tell them that I Am has sent thee. You tell them that the I Am has sent thee." And to me, I think you know that it gives it a very definite force by saying that I Am that I Am has sent thee. So that as we look at a few of those thoughts, first of all, we might look at the 7th chapter of John's Gospel just for a verse, the 46th verse. We might read the 45th verse. "Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? And the officers answered, Never man spake like this man." And the thought before one is, isn't it true that who else could I tell you about that would be so wonderful as the person of the Lord Jesus? Never man spoke like him. There never was a man in the world that spoke and the world came into existence. Never was a man that spoke and could say, "Lazarus, come forth." And the many wonderful things that the Lord Jesus did. And the blind man, he could speak and he received his sight. The leper, he could say, "Lord, if thou wilt, you could heal me." The Lord says, "I will." And he was healed. Never man spoke like this man, never. Well, could we think of any person so wonderful as the person of the Lord Jesus? I believe that where we fail is to enter more fully into our portion in Christ. And to know that it's not only our portion now as we trod this scene, but it's our portion for that eternal day. Now we look through glass dimly, but then face to face. And so in the 8th chapter, in the 12th verse, there 46th verse, it says, "Never man spake like this man." Then Jesus again, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I was telling the brother last night, Brother Kraus, that at my wife's funeral service, uh, down in South Carolina recently. The man that spoke, he didn't take up any scripture. He just read poems. They were nice poems. But, you know, I just felt so let down. And he gave them really nothing for their souls. And I could remark, I felt like never before when the Lord Jesus, he could say, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have gathered thee as a hen that gathered her brood and would not." And I thought to myself, oh my, what these dear souls, what are they getting? Well, on the way home that night, his daughter, who had been brought up under the ministry of this same man of whom I've known for a good many years, she said, "Uncle George, wasn't that a dry funeral?" Well, I said, "Edith, I was thinking along the same line, but I wasn't going to say anything." Well, she said, "My husband, he said to me, 'Edith, this is the driest funeral service I ever heard. You know, to leave Christ out, it's dry, isn't it? You know, if you don't have Christ to feed upon, you really have nothing.' The poems were lovely, nothing wrong with the poems. But there was nothing there to comfort his dear wife, who knew the Lord as her Savior, and also did Ben know him. And it seemed to me that it was just so dry, and I felt like I never felt before, you know, that, oh, it was a time to give them something to comfort their hearts. And there's nothing to comfort our hearts but Christ. If he could only have given them something. You know, the word says, 'Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.'" And also many lovely, comforting portions that we could have had. But, as I say, you know, it's only Christ that can satisfy the longings of your soul and mine. And he said, "I'm the light of the world." You know, he said, the light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Well, it's natural, as we sometimes use the illustration, if a thief were in your home and you turned the light on, he'd be very uncomfortable, wouldn't he? He'd be very uncomfortable. So when Christ came into the world, he naturally, his very life, was that which made men uncomfortable because their hearts were evil. Now he says here, "I am the light of the world." I would like to bring before you a few thoughts of the I am. And because that is one of his names in which he could say to Moses, "You tell them that the I am that I am has sent thee." So here he says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." How wonderful to know that if we follow in the path of which he has marked out in his precious word, we have light. We're not walking in darkness. You know, in the 13th of John's Gospel, when he gave Judas to stop in it, he went out immediately and was night. This poor world has been lying in darkness from that time on. The world lies in darkness. If you don't think so, just walk down the street and start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinners and see how quickly the response comes, making you realize that we are living in a dark world. Well, the Lord Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world." If man wants to see the truth, as I sometimes say, if you want the truth, you must be where the truth is. And the Lord Jesus, you know, Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And he stood beside truth itself and walked away. And I trust that that will not be true of my heart and yours. That we have Christ, and he is the light of the world. He is the truth. And so he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. If I seek to follow with Christ as the object of my soul, I wouldn't walk in darkness. I wouldn't be stumbling around, because Christ is my light. Now he says here, we might turn to the 10th chapter, the 7th verse, I believe. Then said Jesus unto them, 10:7, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now you know here in this chapter, he has Israel before him. As we go back a little bit, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep that hear his voice, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Now, it tells us in our previous chapter, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And here he tells us, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now the Lord Jesus tells us that if we seek to go on in accordance with the Word of God, being led by the Holy Spirit, and I want to say the liberty of the Spirit. We need to give the Spirit liberty to take Christ and make him precious to our soul. Now he says here, I am the door of the sheep. Israel, naturally, this was strange language to them. But he was seeking to, as we go on in the 14th chapter, reveal to them. He wanted to reveal to Israel. He's seeking to bring before them what was about to take place, the work of Calvary. When he was going to the cross, and while they knew the Lord as Jehovah, the Eternal One, he wanted to reveal the Lord Jesus to them as the Savior of sinners and God as their Father. Now, they knew him as Jehovah God, the Eternal One, but they did not know God as a Father. And I sometimes think, as a child of God, is it not precious that you and I, although we know he is the Almighty God and the Eternal God, but as I sometimes say, we don't approach him now. Like Daniel, after in Hosea, when God says, you're not my people, they had turned away from him. And he said, you're not my people. So Daniel, in praying, he prayed to the God of heaven. Well, we know that God is in heaven, but you and I, as a child of God, we recognize that he's by our side. And so we approach him as God our Father. As I said to a young doctor one time, I said, well, you just tell the Lord what you told me. I said, he's right beside us and more interested in your salvation than I could ever be. How wonderful that we don't have to approach him as the God of heaven, but we approach him as one who is ever near. How precious to know him as our Father. How precious to know him. Sometimes likened it to a judge. You know how different to go up and stand before the judge as a judge, and for our boy to stand up to him as his father. The relationship there is father and not a judge. What a difference. What a difference it is. And so to know God as our Father, what a relationship and what blessing. Now he was seeking to reveal to Israel, I'm sure. He wanted to prepare them for what was coming, to reveal to them God as a Father. Now he says, but the only door, I'm the door. And there is no other way for you to enter in. He that entereth in not by the door of the sheep is the door, is the shepherd of the sheep. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. Oh, how wonderful to know that he leads us by the skillfulness of his hands and guides us with the integrity of his heart. What a Savior we have. Well, he says, if you're trying to get in any other way, you just can't. He says, because I'm the door. I'm the door. And there just is no other entrance. Well, he was seeking to put that over to the people of whom he came to reveal himself to the Jews. And here he says, I am the door of the sheep. So, it's just as true with you and I as a child of God. There is no, first of all, as an unsaved soul, there is no other way of salvation other than Christ as the door. He says, I'm the door, and God tells us that the door is open and no man can shut it. Today is another day when the door of grace is open and that you and I can not only know him as our Savior, but learn more about the person of himself. No, I feel that there is a great lack among Christians today in seeking to know more about the Lord Jesus. One thing to know him as a Savior, but quite another thing to know him in a personal way. To know him, the Apostle Paul could say, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. He knew him personally. To know the Lord Jesus in a personal way, how different, isn't it? You know, if someone were to come and say, well, you know, Mr. Shuey, I said, oh yes, I've done it so many times. What a difference, isn't it? To know him personally, say, and to say, I know of him. I know of him. So Paul says, I know whom I believed. I know him. I know him personally. So here he says in our 11th verse of our 10th chapter, he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now in our previous verses, he said, no man ever spoke like this man. And then he says, the Lord Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And then he tells to the Jews here, he says, I am the door. How wonderful, isn't it? He just leads up step by step. No man ever spake like this man, trying to exercise the conscience of the souls. And now he says, I am the good shepherd. And he says, the good shepherd, it's always been very striking to me. He gives you the answer. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life. He giveth his life for the sheep. You know, in speaking to souls, as we speak to them, we tell them, you know, that the Lord Jesus is the Savior of sinners. And when they are brought to realize that they are sinners and that they have to do with God, then, you know, first of all, as most of you know, I have cataracts, and when you go to a doctor, well, the doctor told me, he said, Dr. Cross went with me to Dr. Frail, and he told me this, he said, you know, he said, If you have to have something wrong with your eyes, well, what you have is the best. If you have to have something wrong, you could have this, you could have that, and you could have the other. But if you have to have something wrong with them, well, you got the best that there is. Well, when I say to a sinner or a soul that hasn't accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior, I say, well, you know we're all sinners. Well, if a soul says, I said to the doctor, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, he said, I would not break death. Well, you know, you like an answer to these problems, don't we? We like an answer. So he gave me an answer. And so when we seek to bring before a soul that he's a lost sinner, and he has to admit that he is a sinner, and he says the fool is said in his heart there is no God, as we read the scripture and see that because of the evil that was in the world, God brought a flood upon the earth. He brought judgment. And we know that if he brought it in the days of Noah, he'd certainly bring it again. Because certainly the world and all of this wickedness today, we all wonder, how much longer can it go on? Just how much longer? So if we know that he's going to have to come into judgment before God regarding his sin, well then you can tell him the answer, can't you? And Christ.